I don't know who the author is. Her name is Josephine Felix. Don't know who she is. Never heard the name before in my life. She's a fine lady. And she really raises very important issues which are bothering people. And I understand that they're bothering people. And I feel we have to have responsibility to address some of the things that she said. And again, we'll spend as much time as we have today to see if we can come to some kind of a conclusion. If not, we'll have to continue. Okay? So if you can read on screen what she said, I'm not going to read every word to you. Okay? Are you able to see it?
Anyway.
Okay? It's a pretty big... Okay, so, you know, a new word, blogosphere. Ooh. Heard of atmosphere, stratosphere, it's a new sphere, blogosphere. Okay? And it says, if the film didn't interest you, it should. Okay, watch this. You're living in a paradox. Okay? Lawyer, doctor, accountant, engineer, researcher, psychologist, computer programmer. And if you do not have a career in any of these fields, you know someone who does, for sure. We all know, none of us here is a woman, but you know, we all know someone who does. And she's a woman coming from a Kollel perspective. That's amazing. She's not coming from, I don't know who she is, but she's not coming with those left-wing diatribes. She's coming speaking very respectfully. Okay? So I'll put the husbands. Okay, fine. Yet. CEO of a company. But they can't be president of a shul. That's correct. They can be a doctor. The halacha, they cannot contribute. Well, we spoke about this in our previous discussion, whether they can contribute or not. You know, if they're a doctor, they went to medical school. Right? And given the fact that at the present time, they're not going to rabbinical school, at least for the moment, so they didn't go to medical school. Right? Okay, they're partner from time bound. Why? Because they can take care of their homes. That's true. Okay. But now, since they do time bound constraints in professional, they create their own anomaly. Okay. What happens at a professional conference? Sit around and schmooze while the male colleagues stop at the mincha. But what's being said over here is that the construct, this is not an attack on the Holy Torah, as we've seen in other places. This is just a comment that some of the reasons which were originally given for the exemption of women from Zman Gerama seem to be somewhat anomalous, as it's said over here, in a situation where the women are in a medical conference, whatever they're doing, and yet they're not davening mincha. That's an excellent point. May I make another point before we go any further? Before we had women being doctors, there were women who were single and women who were older and had no longer had children to take care of. It's not a new situation. Now the women are doctors and so why should be parted from Zman Gerama? What about in the old days before they were doctors? Right? If the reason is that they have to take care of the house and the family and the children, what if they're single, they have no children? What if they already married off their children? As I'm saying, it's not a new kasha, it's an old kasha. As a matter of fact, I'll show you soon. Let me show you now. Do I have Bar Ilana here? I want to show you now because why should we wait around? And I'm going to continue back with this. I think it's a very nicely written piece, and it gave me food for thought, and I felt I have to share some of my thoughts with you. Because the whole world's talking about this. The whole world. Everywhere I go, this is a tumult. So we have to at least try to address it. Okay, we're in. Let's go. I want to share a shoe from Moshe. Take a look together. Let's read the Shuvah together. Everyone be able to read? Oh, great. Everyone see it? בעניין התנועה החדשה של נושם השעננוס והחשובוס יודחס אלו טופשן למד ווב. What year is that? 1976. Quite a few years ago, it's not from yesterday. This is not a petition which just came up yesterday. Malas kvo di didi Rav Agon or Rav Yehuda Kelem b'shlita. Anyone here from West Hempstead? He's been in West Hempstead for many, many years, but not quite 37 years. Then he was already still in Brookline. Rav of Boston, b'kid ha-chashuva, the young Israel of Brookline, which is the shul of Boston. הנה בדבר הנושא מהשננס והחשובות שבעניוני הנהוגות המדינות בעולם הן גם כן מהלוחמוס יחד עם התנועה כזו עם הנושא מהלוחמוס וזה מכל העמים שבעולם. We're going to fight it. What are they fighting about 1970s? They're fighting for, we'll call it women's liberation. That's what it said in the original. I'm not sure if it was taken out in this edition. אבל נושאים אלו שאין שומס תורה מצוות רוצות להתחכנס מלחמתם גם במה שנוגע לכמה דיני התורה. Yesh Mem Hashem is Spalos, but Talis, whee! The Moshe already knew about this. This is in the 70s. There were some women who, most of them were not Orthodox. Bechadayim all had both of them. Maybe in Boston already, some of the Orthodox. Boston has always been an avant-garde town. The Rotzel Shabiyat Bezadayti Be'etzem Adol Eich Shish Na'an Katan. Hine, Reishis Tzorach Lodax, Kimei Korei Ha'amuna Ha'tahora Shalom. Shekol HaTorah, Ben Mishchsa, Ben Shabbat Peh, Nitna Me'akadosh Baruch Hu, Be'atzma, Ar Sinai. What's he talking about? What's going on? Mikori Amunah? It's just a local issue about a talis. Moshe was a God of Lado. He understood very well what's going on over here. These manifestations go to the heart of Mikori Amunah. That's why it's so important. Because we have to talk about these things. The problem trying to, hold on to Rav Moshe's traditions. Okay? בעצמו בהרסינה, אלי משה בן הראשון, אי אפשר לשנות אפילו קוץ אחד, לא להוקר ולא להחל. How's that? That's his opening line. It's an introduction. אך נסתבנו שכשיש צורך לסיוג ולגדר, וחייב על הסנהדן וכך מהתורה לתקן איזה תקונס ולסר איזה דרום, וחייב באיזה דרום, אך בעודו מרבונן שהוא לתקונס לסיוג. בזמן שזה ספזנו בכל הארוצות לנו כוח זה אלא יש חכמים תקן כל מוקם ומוקם אלא תקונה רק למקום מום רק לזמן קצר ובמייל זה שהתורה פוטו מתססי שזמן גרום הוא מן התורה וגם רבונן לא חיבום כי לא רואו בזה שם צורך לחיימן ועד הרבה משמע שהצורך הוא לפוטו דווקא מהטעם של פתורה של תורה that's his introduction they're potter from Talos and from Tfilin and the Sefer ולבד תמי התורה. What happened? Did I do something wrong? No. Someone's trying to undermine the Shia somewhere, right? ולבד תמי התורה, שלא ידוע לסתם אינשי, אף לא לתמי חכם וגדולם, אני מחויב על ההאמן שאיגה תמי וגדולם, הקדוש ברוך הוא נוסן התורה. We cannot We talk about mitzvahs, they have reasons. We don't even know all the reasons. Nonetheless. Ika gam tamag liyam lako. Ki stam noshim ba'olam enam ashiros. Gosh, the average woman is not rich. Ba'alein mutal gidol ha'ilodin ba'ilodos. They're required to raise the children. Shimulocha yoser chashuvo la'ashem izbaruch alato. What's going on? What's the most important tafkid in the whole wide world that HaKadosh Baruch Hu Torah? I'm actually not afraid to say it. Raising children. It's obvious why. If you don't raise the children, you're not going to have another generation. So obviously the most important thing is to raise the children. So the question is, why can't the men raise the children? What's wrong with Mr. Ma? Hey, show of hands. We have a nice crowd here. Who wants to be a Mr. Ma when he grows up? Yeah? Okay, good. You got one person. It's good. We always have to have one. You shouldn't think that everyone's walking in lockstep. We have one Mr. Mom. Most of them are not interested so much. Okay, well. If you recall what we read in Rabbi Feldman's book about the man who was willing to be Mr. Mom for 1 hour on a Friday afternoon. I don't know if you were there when we read that. He was going nuts. He couldn't handle it for an hour. But you want to be Mr. Mom? Because I'm saying, fine. Okay. Watch. We must explain to why. V'chein borak Hashem yisborach b'teva kol mina minda b'balechayim sh'nekevo sigadu v'savlodos. ויאפס מן האדם לא הוציא מן הכלל בזה שגם טבע הנושים בסוגו יוסר לגידול הילודים. You know what's going on? But Moshe is saying, women's nature is more appropriate to raise children. The partner from Talmud Torah, which is an all-consuming, all-time-consuming responsibility. So with the Torah, Hashem parted them, they should be able to raise the children. Because that's not time-consuming, but it's time-dependent. Right this minute, you got to do this. But meanwhile, this minute, but she's busy taking care of the family. Shalachain, here's a key point. Afim yishtana sidur achayim ba'olam. Things are going to change. Women are doctors now, right? Things are going to change. And it's changed plenty since 1976. Gam l'chol anoshim v'la'ashiros b'chol hazmanim. In other words, it's a sidur achayim will change for all women. And the rich women in all the time had plenty of ability to hire babysitters. Babysitters, nannies, lo nishtane din ha-Torah, v'af lo din derabona, v'lo toil shum milchama. All this fight, not going to work. Ki ein shum koach l'shanas afilu beheskim, kol ha-olam kulo shum davar. What are you pushing for? It's not going to work. It's not in our hands. The Kadosh Baruch Hu has made the Torah. The Torah is forever. But Rav Moshe was very known to be very mild mannered, and he was not a man who was given to diatribes and polemics. But watch this. Vahanoshim shemis akshos. They're stubborn. Verotos lilchom ulushanos. They want to fight and change things. This is Rav Moshe. Rav Moshe did not. He didn't put out placards and then they show him and then call people names, but look what he says. Hein b'chashivas kofros b'torah. This Rav Moshe, you have to understand who's saying it. If some kanoi would say it, you know, everyone's a kofor. That's we can ignore such statements by such people. But this Rav Moshe, you don't find him using these lashonos on a regular basis. This is an exception to the rule. You see how strongly he felt about these matters. Look at the Rambam. What's kofer? Om al teva achas shavosh amarosh mipi asmo. What kofer perusha shutar shabapeh. The om ashahuchlaf dover echad. Right? As we know, we say this every Friday night. It's always a yigdal, right? Lo yachale fokeh v'lo yamidosa. The Torah's not going to change. Kolecha mishlosh el kofer b'torah b'dinu yenachal avo. Av shalosh in the Rambam lo om ashabor echlet mitzvazu. Poshetu uravusa. Right? Lo yachale fokeh. Even that, after Omer that Borei Echlev Mitzvah Zul, Kol Shkein, She Omer She Rishus Bidei Inchi Lachlev. Oh, Hashem didn't change the Torah. I'm changing the Torah. That's worse, says Rav Moshe. She Gam Ken Arei Omer Bezeh She In the Torah Nitzchis. The Torah is not forever. Chol Atamu She Arei Mit Makhish Ka Meksu Ma Mor She Torah Nitzchis. Can call to the Ketzer Mishnah. Wow. This is all the introduction. Of course, we haven't gotten to the main points yet. You see from here, we're not discussing only local issues. I told you about it, we spoke a little bit on Monday, about a particular issue in my own community, which Rav Moshe didn't talk about. He talked about tzitzis. Right. Yeah. Okay. Ibra, the Ika Rishus, the Cholisha, the Kayim Akhmis, Shalokhi Vasan Torah. She has a Rishus. Yesh la mitzvah, the Skal Kiba mitzvah, Zelu. Even called the Tursus, they can make a bracha, as Minagain of Ashkenaz, Shofa Lula, they make a bracha. Oh, tzitzis. She can want to wear tzitzis. Yeah, dal kavli is, yeah? Only tefillin not. The Moshe was once in the head. Because the Tosin Erevin of Tzadivov, the Maschel Michal, she tzorech and limchol tzviyodom, she the tefillin tzorech tzvizim ruvah begufnoki mehez chadas, she mitam zu af anoshim she mechuyam mit tefillin nimnoy melanich kol yom, ala rak zman amod mit tefillin bechshach. That's exactly the Yeruch HaShulchan Shach. Vechein yifzik miramod orachayim lamad chesiv gimel. And the Yonason says, "Lo yikli gevur alisha, lo yiglol in the tzitzis of tefillin, tikkuni gevur alitza." Tosfos does not denies it. Tosfos holds it's not mitargam Yonason. It's a different whatever. Av a poshut shurak b'choshka nafsha l'kayin mitzvus av shalom istapsa. She has a desire. Av a mikayman she ainu l'kavonazu. Now today, Rav Moshe would be attacking the same blogs. How dare Rav Moshe go into the hearts of people? How dare he judge their motivations? How dare he evaluate what they're thinking? Rabbi say, every dayan is mechuyev to make these evaluations. You sit in the din Torah. The people are fighting. They're about $1 million, and they're giving different claims. The dayan's job is to get inside. That's exactly his job, to get inside and evaluate people, what they're saying and what they're thinking. Otherwise, you can't give a proper psak. Same thing over here. How dare he? He's mechuyev to. The problem is the world. It started already in the 60s. We started the concept of non-judgmentalism. Everything goes. Started already in the 60s. Everything goes. Till then, I mean, I'm old enough to remember before then, there were certain activities which were considered abhorrent and considered immoral and considered, beyond the pale. And gradually, one taboo after another was taken down. So everything goes now. We live in a world of non-judgmentalism. You can't judge anybody and say, your way of life is no good. That's the modern world. The Torah world is different. Let's get to the core. To the deep, deep down core. We have a Torah given to the HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And if someone is trying to change things for a motivation, which whoever is judging, considers to be less than holy, 100% pure, so you have to get up and say, this is wrong. I mentioned using the Nitziv. Did I mention the Nitziv to you? No. Let me first finish this remark. Maybe you'll tell me I can get a hammer cover. Yeah, I should be able to get it. I'll get it soon. Let's first finish once we're here. Aval mikay manch ena le kavon. How did Moshe know? How do you know what the kavon is? He knew. He believed he knew. Ala mitzad Torah Musa. She has tarumis. Al Hashem is barav al tarasa. She's complaining about Hashem and his Torah. Ain the ma'aseh mitzvah klal, ala adrabba, ma'aseh isur, shor isur the kfira shechoshemes the shayach shiyeh is a chilah b'din yatorah. He also has got a ma'aseh shechomir. It's worse, not in the kfira in thought, kfira indeed by putting on the tefillin or putting on the tzitzit. If in fact it's not a desire to do mitzvahs, but rather it's a desire to change. I want change. I want the Torah to change. Alf, watch this. This is very important. The Shanish, this is the end of the truth. Tzorach Ladas, I heard this from my Rebbe many times. He ain't the Bishvil Shanoshim Pchusos B'Madregas HaKadushim HaNoshim. People say we're misogynists and the women are second class citizens. Ramosh is saying Chas V'Sholom. The Kadusha Shavos LaNoshim. The Nishaychas Achiyah B'Mitzvah. Sirach Mitzad HaKadusha Dika B'Yisrael U'Tzivu HaMitzvahs. Asher Kiddushah B'Mitzvahsah. And the Nosh of this, all the Pesukim of Kadusha. Ben Betchilas Tanai Kabbalas HaTorah, Vistin School of Mikolami, the Goy Kodesh, Beis Yaakov, Elo HaNoshim, Beis HaNoshim, Anche Kodesh Tiyan Nimishpotim, Yisim Kodosh Nishmini, Kodosh Tiyan Nikodoshim, all Am Kodesh Parshat Re'ei, whatever says Kedusha, Nem Agam LaNoshim, and therefore they make a Baruch Hashem Kedusha B'Mitzvah, so it's the same as men, even if they're not required, except what? Rakshu kula me'ezet tamish ha'mizborach shirotza lehokal l'anashim k'daliel. V'lo mitzad guyus l'chatz v'sholom. The fact that the women don't are not chayim is mangrom is not that they are second-class citizens. Chatz v'sholom. Is that what I should say? U'vachayum mishbein ish l'ishto. Isa achiyah v'akobar ala ish l'ishto. V'al ish l'bala b'lo shem chiluk. You have to honor each other. V'habi v'anashim shem devios. Yes, then called Dina in Abish of Anoshim. Harbor Devar Mishtab Kuben Korben Devi Chazal or Yosem Mehal Anoshim. I was going to start with this week's Parsha. Look at the Parsha of Shavuot, Parsha of Vayakli. You see that the women were the ones who donated to the Mishkan, and then the ones who didn't do the Chet HaEgel, didn't do the Chet HaMeraglim. They're the ones who are considered, we see if you have time, on a higher level. The Lekashim Zilzel Bechvodan Bechodavah Vizesh Nifchum Milimah Atorah Mitzvah Sakavan Groma. Like a cloud from Sivil Israel, I'm cloud! And you, Rav Kelmer, to be Mazbe, Bechol Pam, Opam, for the Ostakif, the Chosik Betato, Shukadine Atorah, Limchos, to protest, for Elo Hanashi Sha'acha Kolze, Yamdu Betato, and Ho'ivelas, for Akusha, Shul the Shana Shum Dava Minhodi Yisol HaKadosh. It was the Egmo, because it was a bird. Because the Brocha took, Hanoshi Noshi Betato, Sivil Chosim Betato. This is a landmark tshuva, Rav Osa, by the God of Ladon. Just take, all you have to do in the whole tshuva, just take this tshuva and hang it up. I'm doing more than that. It's all beferish in this tshuva. We're not discussing small matters here, details about tefillin, that's a small matter. Rav Moshe calls it tefira. And Rav Moshe is willing to say, I am judging their motivations. They call them names, it's my responsibility. Every Rav is mechuyav to do the best he can to judge people, what they're doing and what they're thinking. Based on their own words, based on their own complaints. You want to change the Torah. Torah's not fair to women, the whole stuff, you've heard it all. I was going to show you something about the Nitziv. Let's see. Hold on a second. You ready? Tanakh? What Tanakh?
Yeah, Tanakh.
Oh, a different thing?
Yeah, so.
Let's go. It's alphabetical order.
Huh.
I'm looking for hay. Not here.
Do they have under
Nitziv,
maybe?
Nitziv, nun. Nope.
Okay.
Don't have it. Sorry. I'll tell you where to look. The Nitziv can be found in Parshas Achiros. There, he asks Tosfos Akasha and gives his own Teretz. His own Teretz is Tosfos Akasha. I'll show you the Tosfos Akasha. Yes, I can show you. Maybe I'm showing a lot about. Oh, I'm looking for plain Tosfos. That's not it. Okay. It says on the page, doesn't count. I believe it's this stuff, if I'm not mistaken. I'm not sure if it's this stuff. Could be. Look at this later on. This is not for now. Maybe it's Tezai. There's a steer between two Gemaras, which Tosfos contends with here in the Sechta Brachas. No, I was right the first time. See, I don't trust myself, but I was right the first time. Yud Zayin Amud Aleph. Okay, Rabbosai. Watch. Oh. Here we go. Seichel tov v'chol ha'oseim. L'osim l'onem al li'oseihem. L'osim l'shma, v'lo l'osim shalo l'shma. Chol ha'oseh shalo l'shma, noach lo shalo nivra. What's going on? Frek, tois is an obvious kasha. V'im tova. Sachem nun, l'olam yasek odem b'torah mitzvah afilah shlo l'shma, shemitoh shlo l'shma bo l'shma. The Torah is a teretz, two different kinds of shlo l'shma. Here's the kanter chaverov, and there's amnashi chabdu. If you're learning that people should give you honor, no, not so bad, it's going to come l'shma. If you're doing the kanter, you're trying to undo something to, then it's bel loch lo shlo l'shma. That's the Torah's teretz. Let's see what's his own teretz. Look at the verb. Here it's Yasok, see this? Yasok, and here it's Oseh. What's the Nitziv Yasok and Oseh? It says the Nitziv, Yasok means you are involved in the existing Torah mitzvahs. An ulterior motive for honor, good idea, l'kamlishma. Oseh, the Nitziv is mechadish, means to be mechadish. The word Oseh means l'chadish. L'ilmo, l'ilame, lishma, v'lasos. That's mechadesh chidush Torah. New things. Also shalom l'shma, you make new things shalom l'shma, new Torah, new mitzvah shalom l'shma, that's bad. It's in the tziv right there. It's repeated in many places in his ksav. This is in Parashat Ach, I think it's Vayikra, Perek Yud Ches Pasuk Hey, if I'm not mistaken. And in a number of other places, he says the same thing. It's emes lamita. So we have to know. We're talking about someone who's just doing Torah mitzvahs. We're not required to look inside with x-ray vision. What's the motivation? But if he's doing something new, shalom l'shma, zoch shalom nivra. So, yeah, it's a pretty strong statement. So we read so far of Moshe, we read so far. I'm sorry to go from. We're back here, okay? Okay? So I'm explaining to you, this is not a new thing. It's an anomaly. There's always anomalies. Okay? So it doesn't matter that the woman had enough money to hire babysitters, or if it's the same thing, she had no children, or she already raised her children. Now, they don't teach Gemara to girls. Apparently, she went to Beis Yaakov, or a son. She was given numerous answers as to why it was not okay. And she told them, what? Women's brains are not cut out for that type of learning. Women to emotional analysis, text, etc. They're both wrong. We already still know the reason why. Moshe was the reason. I don't know why they get around Moshe's reason. 1976, how old is this lady? 1976, 37 years ago. I don't know how old I am. She was a young child. I don't know. I just don't know who the lady is. Google her. Let me know how old she is. She writes very nicely. I have nothing against her. She was misinformed by her teachers when she was a young student. Okay, so my fellow classmates have embarked on a blatant inconsistency. Women cannot be judges or bear witness in court. When I asked why, women are too emotional, objective observation. Wrong and wrong. They're both wrong. That's not the reason why women can't be can't give babies. What is the reason? Anyone know the reason why? It's a simple reason. It goes to the heart of the point that I have to bring out. It's going to take me a while to bring it out, but let's talk about it right now. Okay, female Supreme Court Justice of the United States, objective. The problem is she's making a straw man and she's knocking it down. This is a straw man which is wrong, knocked it down. This is a straw man wrong, she's also knocking it down. Okay, so therefore the whole thing is this wrong? She was given wrong answers, so she's complaining that these answers are inconsistent with reality. She's right, but she was given the wrong answers. Why are women exempt from Eidus? The answer is simple. Torah Kedoshah says, V'eid or ro yoda, im lo yagid v'nas avon. The person knows testimony, he is required to come to court, to Beis Din, to give the testimony. Under penalty of a carbon, of a punishment, for failing to walk into court, to Beis Din, to give your testimony. This means, you're required to come into a public place, a public stand, and make a public statement which the Torah is not in favor of. Let us get right up and say it. The Torah views women to have a more private role than men. That is a fact. Kol kavuda bas melech penima. Pasuk in Tehillim. And therefore the Torah is not interested in creating, I shouldn't speak with such certitude, chas v'shalom. Rav Moshe was a gadol hador, even he, when he gave his reason, which is, we think was the right reason, he was saying that 150 other reasons that we don't even know about. I'm saying the same way. But the simple reason, which is, to me, is that if a woman would be qualified to testify, she'd be compelled to testify. And she'd be compelled to testify, it would not be something which we want to do, because we want women to have a more private role. You know who else is disqualified from testifying in Beis Din? You know who else? The Melech. The Melech can't give aids. Why not? Same reason. Because if the Melech can't give aids, you can haul him into Beis Din to give aids. So that we don't think that's proper for a Melech. I mean, I remark, called Fuda Bas Melech Penima. Right? The same concept. So therefore, again, two straw men, which are the complaints are legitimate against the straw men, because the straw men are both inaccurate. Now, although, watch this. Glorified role of a woman in the home. Now, many Beis Yaakovs harp on the negative legal ramifications of the traditional role of a woman. Whoa. Now we come to taking the gloves off. In other words, they're saying now the negative legal ramifications. Watch what's going on over here. Watch. A whole slew. Rabbi said, next year we're learning Masechta Ksuvos. leave it toward the end, but not starting at the beginning. So those will be in my Shia next year. We'll be discussing these matters. It's important matters to understand what's going on over here and how, what things can change and can't change, because it's relevant to Halacha L'Maaseh Mamash. He comes a whole slew of negative legal ramifications. Men, head of the household. Women, fewer dependent rights and privileges. Halachically, men had sole custody of their children. What does that mean? What does that mean? What do we mean sole custody of the children? What does that mean? What it means is that men have to support their children. Women don't. That's not even true today. What's a negative legal ramification? Have you supported children or not have supported children financially when it breaks up? I deal with this all the time. Halacha, the man is required. The woman has no obligation whatsoever. Yes, it's true that at young age, the children were considered to be in the hands of their mothers, which unfortunately the courts don't recognize now either. When they get older, the father. You know why? Simple reason. For the matter to most of us, in those days, in the original construct, father was teaching the sons. How can they teach their sons if the son's not there? After we started the yeshiva system, things may change. It's written up. I'm not making this up to be an apologetics. It's written up in shuvas of hundreds of years ago. Years ago, when they started yeshivas, so then they say, well, then maybe things may be different. They will follow the sites in all matters until the child reached puberty. Most of the fights we have in the business are teenage kids, post-puberty. In halacha, post-puberty, you're independent. No one's responsible for you. You're not answerable to anybody else. Go tell that to a judge now when they make them pay until they're 21 or 18. A lot of things change. This is a low blow over here. In most instances, all a woman's earnings belong to her husband in exchange for him supporting her. That is partially true. However, the poskim agree that's only a minimum amount of earnings that she would make by doing a little bit of knitting in a couple hours a day. That's it. That goes to the husband. Hadafah yaday hakak, which means she worked extra hard, does not go to the husband. She stays with her. So this is an incomplete statement. Let's continue to the negative legal ramifications. Not that, but a woman who's not responsible for something she damaged, since legally she owned nothing. Why is that a negative legal ramification? Sounds like it's a freebie. It's great. Those she wants, and then there's not. Why is that negative? It all belongs to her husband, like a slave that she's trying to do. Why is that negative? If someone gave you insurance, so whatever damage you caused the rest of your life, you're potter. Would that be called negative? I thought that sounds positive to me. In Ksumas, watch this now. From a list of wife's responsibility to her husband, in response to his responsibility for her, which she doesn't mention. What does it mean? Woman is a maidservant to the marriage, she's released from those obligations with few exceptions. She still has an obligation to personally wash her husband's feet, prepare his cup of wine, and make his bed. Rashi says an obligation, but rather suggestions to make a wife beloved in her husband's eyes. Rambam, however, says these are obligations that were enforced by whipping. So this woman is creating, I don't think she means bad, she's a fine woman, obviously. She's creating a whole scenario which looks like a doomsday scenario for women. Rabosa, I can tell you that there is no bezin that is going to, you know, whip a woman. No bezin is going to instruct a woman today to wash her husband's feet. Not one. What is it? Before she's in the Gemara, before she's in the Rambam. I may have told you the story once. She missed the most important Rambam of all. The Rambam says that a woman should leave a house at most once or twice a month. It's the Rambam. The story is told that a guy in Yerushalayim got married. And if he got married, he said, you know, our marriage, we can follow the Rambam. What Rambam? You leave your house once or twice a month, max. Okay, she's a smart lady. She used her monthly pass, went to Rabbi Yashiv. She said, call him in. He said, you out of your mind? Rambam, he said. You out of your mind? Rambam. Come on. Things change. This is an unfair swipe. This is in different times, different circumstances. Things were different. You know, the Gemara says in the Masechta Brachos that a man should not walk behind a woman in the marketplace. Achori Ari, better to walk behind the lion than to go Achori Yisha. Before Shimon Brachos. So, Rav Waldenberg, and Tzitz Eliezer, wrote a letter to Shlomo Zalman, both lived in, near each other in Yerushalayim. And they both went to Shai Shap and Machne Yehuda. And I can't walk in the Shuk, there are women everywhere. So Shlomo Zalman writes back, the times have changed, in those days there were no women in the Shuk. An occasional woman went to the Shuk, you were going to walk behind her. Today there are more women than men in the Shuk. So you have no alternative, so try to look to the side. Things change, Rebosa. A lot of things are changing.
Should you try to look to the side?
What?
Should you try to look to the side?
It depends, you know, on the circumstances, how the woman is dressed or not dressed. It depends on a lot of things. That's a tshuva, you can find it's printed in both svar. In Tzitz Eliezer and in Milcha Shlomo. Yes?
Well, what makes the difference between certain things changing and other things changing?
Ah! That's a critical question. Who decides what changes and what doesn't change? I already gave you the answer. Rav Moshe decides, Rav Shlomo Zalman decides. What the Chafetz Chaim decided, they decide. The big rebbes decide. They're the ones who decide, because they're the ones who have been given the responsibility to make judgments. And yes, if a particular individual, male or female, has a gripe and thinks that things should change, she should do the right thing, which is go to the rabbi. She went to Rabbi Kellermer. Rabbi Kellermer went to his rabbi, to Rabbi Moshe, and got a response. That's what Sarah Schneer did. She went to her rabbi, the Bells of Rebbe, and then she went to a couple of times, and she got the response. We're not against change. Change must be made, as you correctly pointed out, but not by any Tom, Dick, and Harry. That's exactly the point. Yes?
I like the response. Like, you have, like, well, the good idea, they're, like, you know, they're smart, they know what they're talking about, but then you have the average person who, like, says, like, ridiculous things, like this woman was told, and so you have, like, average society, you just, the mean women, because they think that's what halacha wants.
So we have. So that's why I'm speaking to you now, and not talking about Tochen B'Shabbos. That's exactly why I closed the Gemara. It's Eitz Lasso, so you have to speak to respond to some of these. This is not coming from a woman who's angry. She's coming from a proper background. She went to a school where they gave a couple of wrong answers. She has a little bit of knowledge that is dangerous. Enforced by whipping. Oh, whipping is terrible. They whip a woman. So the rabbi says, we don't whip women. Not what that means, the rabbi. Says that you do whip women. If you get malchus, the woman eats chaz, she gets malchus. What he means is, you don't whip women to compel them to do something. The Gemara has a Masechta Ksuvos Daf Pei Vav. Someone doesn't want to do a mitzvah. You know what you do? You whip them. Whipping in the time of Chazal, quoted by the Rambam, meant the way that Bezin could compel people to keep the mitzvahs. That's all. So the woman didn't do what she's supposed to, so the Bezin would whip her. And what if the man doesn't do what he's supposed to do? You don't whip him. Even the rabbis, you whip him. They should, before they come out to attack the Rambam for whipping, they should realize it's the Rambam, if we follow him, would save him one of these problems we have to say with Agunas. The Rambam says that if a woman says about her husband, Moyer Salai, he's disgusting to me, I mean, we can prove that she's telling the truth and it really is objectively correct, what do we do with him? We whip him. Kofanoso, until he gives a get. Whoa, whipping. If they follow the Rambam, they would be in better shape. We don't follow the Rambam for other reasons. We don't whip anybody today because the FBI won't allow us. Whatever may be. But we're talking about a conflict of the Rambam. There's no Bezin today going to tell her to wash her husband's feet, and the same way they won't tell her she can't leave the house more than once or twice a month. Come on. Okay. This whole two paragraphs, it seems to me, are these negative ramifications just based on the combination of ignorance and a misunderstanding, and maybe she was given wrong statements when she was young, or and she doesn't have a little knowledge. What can I tell you? It's dangerous. Yes.
These things that, like, the Rambam says, like, you should have mentioned, like, the house once or twice a month. Is that the chachilah, and we're living in a bidi of a time, and or is...
That's a good question. Are our times the chachilah bidi ever? I'll answer you. What happened just now? The whole world is bidi ever, right? Noach lo mishlo nivra. We live in a world that we have to deal with the issues of today's world. That's all. I don't know what that's. You have to go to work? Yeah, because Adam HaRishon made a sin, so you have to go to work. It's B'di Yevit. I mean, it's B'di Yevit. Right? Got to go back to Gan Eden. We can sit and learn all day. Okay? Can I get rid of this? How do I get rid of this? presses get rid of it like this?
What?
How do I get rid of this?
No, no, no.
You can't get
rid of it. Okay. Not, don't be distracted. So, while the frumous girls may say they have no interest in the feminist agenda, there are many apparent paradoxes that they have to contend with. I cannot imagine that most women would lie awake at night and lament the time when the woman's role followed the legal aspects dictated above. Come on. Of course not, because the world today is different than the world that she's describing, and some things are not even properly described. Now, watch this. This is very important, and then this is the end of the argument. If all of these inconsistencies between you, your general lifestyle and your traditional approach don't bother you as a woman, they may bother your daughter. They don't bother your daughter consciously, they will bother her subconsciously. That I mean, even if she cannot articulate any issues she has, somewhere deep inside she has to deal with these paradoxes, what they call today cognitive dissonance. On the one hand, she's not the rabbi or the president, or on the other hand, she's a neurosurgeon. Yeah? To do so, she either ignores them and doesn't think too deeply or tells herself that that was then, doesn't apply now. Either of these scenarios runs the risk of significantly diminishing the passion with which the next generation commits to Tanakh Jews. It's correct. When the major inconsistencies in how you think the Torah will understand something, how you live your regular life, you are already making a commitment to a Torah lifestyle that directs with the mission. Chas v'shalom, this statement. Chas v'shalom. In regular life, you're a lawyer, you're a neurosurgeon, you're an accountant, you're a psychologist, you're a businessman, whatever you are, you are. Now, you want to know, did the Torah initially encourage these kinds of roles for women? The honest answer is no, because the honest answer is that the Torah believed in kofuda by smell of penima. New worlds in the world, it's hard to put the genie back in the bottle, but at the same time, if one asks me, we have to be resolute in our defense of the traditional role of the Jewish wife and mother. Not to demean a woman who chooses a career on the fast track. We can criticize it if it causes a reduction in family size, which we're opposed to. But there are women who are super moms, who are able to have many children and still be doctors and lawyers. It's been done. Frankly, this lifestyle is very challenging. I believe it takes away from the proper raising of the children, by definition. But I'm not here to criticize. I'm not here to throw stones at any woman who chooses that as a career. But she has to realize that that's her career. But when it comes to religious observances, they are more traditional. I think I may have told you about my Ephraim and Menashe idea in the Tanis one. No. Let me just finish and I'll come back to this. So if you want to help ignite your daughter's passion, the lack of observance to the preservation of traditional Torah observance and the commitment to seek greater meaning in life than just materials to goals, you are best to recognize these issues and take them seriously. I take them very seriously. Whole shiur about it. Observance of the halakha can only be maintained when there's a fixed halakhic process. But within the parameters of the halakhic process, there are lots of ways to maneuver within the law. Correct. Taking a proactive approach to making a woman's general life and Torah life consistent will do a lot for the continuance of Torah observant Jewry. These women's issues are not going to go away, they're only going to increase. I think she's right, but the whole thing in the middle was incorrect. The correct way is to say, yes, the women today are living in a different kind of a society, and many of them are buying into parts of the society, and if they do that, that's their choice, and they're not going to demean them or criticize them for that. But they have to understand that in the pure world of mitzvahs and halacha and Torah, things don't change. Things fundamentally stay the same. As a Ramesh's introduction, let me give you the vort. What I told you once before, we'll say it now. Again, and it's it. Can't show you that we don't have it on our bar lab. And Yaakov gave a bracha to Ephraim and Menashe. So what did he do? He put Ephraim before Menashe, put his right hand on Ephraim's head, even though Menashe was on his right knee. So that's the question. If Yaakov Avinu was 147 years old, probably it was hard for him to seek El Yadav to go like this while saying the whole bracha. Why don't you just ask the children to move? We'll listen to the grandfather. Okay, Ephraim, you move here. Menashe, you move here. And go like this. Much easier. Says the Netziv, that's not what he wanted. He wanted Dafka Menashe on his right knee. Dafka. Why? Because Menashe was a worldly person. What does it say in the Chumash and Rashi? Hamelit Spinoza, who was the court interpreter? Who was it? Huh? Menashe. What was the Frank doing all day? Who was it? Who was that? Says Rashi. Ephraim, who was Motzi Etzel Yaakov Avinu b'Talmud. So Ephraim was learning all day, Menashe was in the outside world. The leg is the most powerful organ of the body. So the leg was its representative, the physical world. So Yaakov Avinu wanted Menashe to be on his right leg. He's going to be superior. When it came to Torah, represented by the head, he wanted to put his right hand on the Ephraim's head. He had no choice but to seek himself. That's what the Tzitzit says. Let's take it further. When Yosef complains, how does Yaakov respond? Yadati bini yadati. Kamhu yelom v'kamhu yigdo. Menashe. Ulam okev akoto yigdo mimenu v'zariya melo agoy. So Rashi says, who's Menashe? Who's Yadav? Means Gidon. Gidon is the descendant of Menashe. And who's Ephraim? Yeshua. Yeshua is the Talmud of Moshe Rabbeinu. If you think about it, Rabbi Osai, here we have this dichotomy which is bolded. It's so right in front of your face, right here. When it comes to worldly matters, things are always changing. The roles of women are changing. The roles of men are changing. Technology is changing. Politics is changing. Economics is changing. Everything is changing. Nature of the world is always full of change. And you have to roll with the punches. Whether you call it the chatchila, call it the evidence, is irrelevant. You have to adjust to new and changing realities. What did Gidon do? Who was Gidon? He was a warrior. Lech v'chokhacho zeh v'oshat es Yisrael, he was told. Take your personal powers and save Klal Yisrael. How did he do it? He was outmanned, outgunned. What did he do? You know what he did? You know the story of the Shoftim? What did he do? He pulled a davitka. You know what the davitka is? Kikar davitka in Yerushalayim. You don't know what the word davitka means? No one knows what it, you don't know what it is? What was it?
It was like a cannon or artillery thing that they would pass around.
What did it do?
It made it look like there were many of them.
What did it do?
Noise.
Nothing. It made noise. There was no bullets. There was nothing. Just made noise. And the Arabs ran away. They got it. The Yidden got it from Gidon. Gidon took 300 men, and he gave them lanterns, and he gave them pots, and he gave them. They made a sound of light show. There was nothing. They had no guns. But they didn't want guns. They had no swords, they had no spears. Most of all, they had no 30,000 men. They thought every one is leading 100 men. There must be 30,000 people here. They ran away. That's a shame. So after, just imagine, I give this a mushroom. It's written up in the London School of Strategic Studies that Gidon had this plan, or Tzal had this plan, and then in 48, well, they write it up, and there's another war. And Gidon do the same strategy. What's going to happen? You'll get destroyed. The enemy's not that stupid. We're going to try to pull us on us again. Unfortunately, this would happen to Tzal. You know what happened to Tzal? In 1973, it happened to Tzal. They fought the last war. They fought the 67 war. They were overconfident by the Suez Canal because they remember the 67. No problem. Their planes came in and destroyed the Egyptian Air Force. No problem. We're better than dogfights. No problem. There was only one thing they didn't know about. The SAM missiles. Russia gave them these surface-to-air missiles, which knocked out all the Israeli planes. Took them a few weeks. The Yiddish kept to figure out how to overcome it. Flares. So they were. In those few weeks, we lost thousands of soldiers. Rahman al-Islam, Hashem Yom Kippur. Thousands. But they fought the last war. Of course, there's a change in the military. I always say, the politics. Just imagine a guy's going to come up from the dead from 30 years ago and come to a political science class here in this yeshiva college. And what? What went up to the Soviet bloc and the Cold War? What happened? And then you could just add to the example. The whole world changed in 30 years. You can't do politics like 30 years ago. It's ridiculous. Economics. Rabosai, how many of you know about you know about your grandparents? You should know. You know about your grandparents, right? You know about your grandparents? Great grandparents, maybe a little bit. What was their profession? Great grandparents, you have such respect for them, you can't. What do they do? See, men came from Europe and they tailors and cobblers and storekeepers. How do you want to do the same thing as they do? We're not. We're after tradition. It's ridiculous. The whole world's changed. You can't say I'm going to make a pronounce like my great-grandfather did. It's absurd. More than that, even in technology. Oh, look, we have a computer here. Good, take out a computer from 50 years ago and use it. First of all, fill up the whole room, and the woman was able to walk in. You got 50 years ago, what about 5 years ago? 5 months ago, 5 minutes ago, I don't know how they keep things changing. For better or worse, you have to keep up. That's this world, it's always changing. Lech b'chol kachozeh, fight your own battle, your new war, your new economics, your new politics, everything's new. Contrast this with Yeshua. Who is Yeshua? Pnei Moshe ki pnei Chama, pnei Yeshua, I hope we say his name, pnei Yeshua ki pnei Levona. So you could say it means the sun is brighter than the moon. Much means much more than that. We just read that Shabbos. He was a reflection. He reflected the glory of Moshe Rabbeinu. In Torah, we don't change things. We try to reflect the glory of our Sinai. Not just Yeshua. To this very day, we're trying to, when we're sitting down and learning every day, we're trying to figure out the Torah is given in our Sinai. Yes, with all the dinim derabbanan and all the interpretation of the rabbanan, that's what we're trying to figure out all day. What will happen at Sinai and in the aftermath? Trying to make new things. Yes, it's true. In our attempt to understand the Torah, the Chidush Torah, every Sfarim being printed, go to the Sfarim section, and still go, Chidush Torah coming up, what? It was all given to Sinai, Chazal say. Kol Masha Talmud Vos, Osel Chadash, Nila Moshe B'Sinai, but it took thousands of years till we figured it all out and got out in print. Not trying to make new things, trying to discover of the old. Yeshua ben Nun. That's the Torah. You think about it, Rabbosai, the very names of Ephraim and Menashe indicate that. What is Menashe? Why is Menashe called Menashe? It's about Kerr. What was it? Ki Nashani Elohim is called Amolib is called Bechim. What does Nashani mean? The word Nashani has two meanings. Forget and move. Ki Nashani is move. And Nashani means, you know, you be Nashi, you forget. In this world, you have to forget, you have to move. You have the new challenges, new conditions, new circumstances. You have to adjust to them and relate to them. That's Menashe. What's the source of the word Ephraim? Why is it called Ephraim? I don't know. Ki Ephrani Elokim Beretzon Hashem Pri. What's a pri? A fruit. The apple that I eat for lunch every day is the same apple as the Gan Eden. More or less. We go back to the... That's how it is in Torah. So if you want to change something... Right, you have to have someone who's committed fundamentally to preserving the Torah. If someone is committed fundamentally to preserve the Torah, so then that individual wants to make a change. We have to. What's the difference between these two Medrash Tanhumas? Is there a difference? Or Uber like or Varsha?
Yeah, print.
Which is this nicer print?
No idea. No, it's all look the same. Probably different
here, so. Oh, yeah? Let's try Barashah. This is fun. more traditional Barashah, let's say. See what happens? Oh, what simon. Oh, man, this is a possible thing to know. Let's try the end. Try the last guy. Uh-oh, very close. Here it is. Watch this. Lo yomar adam, eini mekayim mitzvah sekenim. Hovenim min haTorah. I'm not going to keep Chanukah. It's all about Ner Chanukah. I'm not going to keep Chanukah. It's not in the Torah. Omer haKadosh Baruch Hu bonai, ein atam rasha lo mekayim. Can't. And the kol mashe gozim aleichem to you mekayim. Shenemar, yosisa piyatorah sheyerucha. Lama, she'af al divrei mani maskim. Hey, Dalacha, Shere Yaakov, Bishal Shabirich, Menashe, Ephraim. was in the front of him and Asher. Oh, so I caught him, called him the Godol. He and I got a spell because they were also. Koban is going to see him. Ephraim is the seventh day, Menashe is the eighth day. So therefore, you have to night in Hanukkah. But they pick this example. Hein, hein, advarim. This is exactly the point. Ephraim before Menashe, Ephraim is Torah, and Menashe is worldly matters, and the Torah, things generally speaking, do not change. Came a man called Yaakov Avinu, and he made a bold and dramatic change. Put Ephraim before Menashe, such as the Torah is more important than worldly matters. And the Kodesh Baruch Hu endorsed his change. You know why? Because fundamentally he's committed to the idea of Ephraim that there is no change. Once in a while has to be a change. Yaakov made a bold change. Rabbo say, the prerequisite for having a change that you would like to make in Klal Yisrael carry weight, the weight of Al-Pi HaTorah She'erucha, which according to the Sefer HaChinuch applies even after the Sanhedrin, even today, amongst Gedolei Yisrael, is an attitude that we try our best not to change. We try to preserve the Mesorah of Har Sinai. Things change, we can't help it. So the Chafetz Chaim, we learned Mishnah Berurah already a whole year. He's the most, of all the Pasuk, he's probably the most consensus-oriented Pasuk. What did he say? We try to, follow in their footsteps as much as possible. Although the number of chidushim in Bialacha is a staggering. But even those chidushim, the Rambam says this, I explain this, we spent the whole year learning his holy words. He was trying to preserve Klal Yisrael. And if he, who was so devoted to preserving Klal Yisrael, preserving the Torah, preserving the value system, and he decided that he had to make a dramatic change and start women's education, you have to listen to him. They say we have to Yaakov Avinu. But till you have those credentials, forget about it. That's the Yisrael of us. That's the Yisrael. I'd like to, the remaining time, speak about what in fact is the role of women in Judaism, and to discuss the various differences between men and women. If you have a chance to talk about tefillin, we will. If not, we'll put it for another time. I don't want to, because we're talking about the bigger picture. The smaller picture is not unimportant. The bigger picture. Well, let me explain. We started with Rav Moshe. Rav Moshe gave a reason for a din in the Torah. Now we pass him lo dashin in time of the crow, which means that even if the reason doesn't apply, the halacha still applies. That's true. That's the halacha. But however, you look in the Rambam and Ramban, they're always looking for the reasons. Why look for the reason? Might have kamina. Because the Torah represents divine wisdom, and therefore we are duty-bound to try to understand the divine wisdom as best as we can, and in doing so, to understand HaKadosh Baruch Hu as best as we can. The Torah is a mashal of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the Mefarshim of explained, of Chaim Halevi and others. So if we understand the mashal, we understand the nimshal as best as we can. Now, whenever we give reasons, we are human beings giving reasons. As Hashem is infinite and unchanging, so are human beings, finite and changing. So any reason you give is limited to who you are. Who are you? You're a product of your time and of your place and of your education. That's who you are. Every one of you, every one of us, the whole world is that way. So, the Rambam and Mor Nevuchim, in his time, gave many reasons for things. Some of us don't appeal to us in the 21st century. Look at Rav Hirsch, who's much more recent than the 19th century. Some things don't appeal to us. Okay? So what? They gave their views. And, we have different. If we don't understand the Rambam and the Rav Hirsch's reasons, well, it's okay. Not that the Torah changed, Chas V'Shalom. Different understandings come in different generations. So, let's analyze the various categories of distinctions between men and women in halacha and try to explain them. The very first, we already had Rav Moshe. Why are women exempt from Zman Gerom and Talmud Torah? We explained why. Is that, are we guaranteed that's the correct answer? No. No. How can we guarantee? How can we guarantee? But I would like to give that as a reason. That's my reason. For Rav Moshe man. I'm entitled. You don't want to accept it because you're entitled to. But I'm entitled. Rav Moshe, go to the door. I want to go with his reason. Okay. But now, it was touched on in that the article about laws of marriage and divorce. They were speaking about the sideshows, which are really, sometimes, can even evince a laugh, because we understand that it's not the mice are the mice. But there are serious mice, there really are the mice. Absolutely. We know that Kihigachi Shisha, the man takes a wife, not for kept. Some of the feminists are not happy with that. They want the woman to respond to the Hariyapadudesh sleep. Depends on how she responds. If she responds in a certain way, it's not traditional, but the marriage is still 100%. She responds a different way, the marriage is under a cloud. Or every double ring ceremony is under a cloud. Not so simple. Divorce, the same thing. V'shilach es ishto. V'shulcha mibesa. Emidoraisa, Rabosan. We know the din. A man can divorce his wife against the will, and a man can have two husbands. Rabbeinu Gershom knocked out both. Who was this Rabbeinu Gershom anyway? He was the God of Hador, and at least of the Ashkenazim, I don't want to hurt anyone's feelings, but Ashkenazim accepted it to this day, and I think most Sephardim accepted it too. Am I correct? In today's world, there's no Sephardi who, maybe there's still some grandfather clauses, some people came from Yemen, living in Eretz Yisrael, but that's not going to last for that long. How old could they be by now? You know, they're alive, both wives are alive after 65 years. Could be. Okay, whatever it may be. So, but am I correct? Even Rabbi Avadja. Even Rabbi Avadja gave it to this one. He didn't give it to Rabbi Yibum, because that's against the mitzvah of the Torah. Even he was agreeable to follow the Rabbeinu Gershom in the matter. I think it's true. Rabbeinu Gershom. Who was he? He was a God of Hador. He saw things had changed in the world. And polygamy and against your wife's will was no good. Someone's complained to me, why is it there's a concept of sota and there's no sote? Torah is not fair. The obvious answer is that by Torah law, a man can have two wives. A woman can have two husbands. So therefore, a woman who lives with another man is lo sinah. The worst case is when Gilei Arayos and the child of Mamza. If a man who's married and he has a girlfriend on the side, we're not allowed to get chas v'sholem. But it's a much lower level sin, and the children are kosher. What else fits into this category of man-wife relationships, which seem to be a little bit unusual? The concept called hafaras nedarim. A man can annul the vows of his wife. Doesn't work the other way around. More than that, if you look in the poskim, they say, the couple gets married, they have different customs. 3 hours and 6 hours, and they're throwing things out, whatever we talked about last year in Yoredeya. Many different customs. The halacha is that a woman follows the custom of her husband. That's the children of Moshe. I'm not going to save the time now to show it to you. That's the difference. Why? How do you explain all these? There's so many differences. It's unfair. Negative legal ramifications. Here's the answer, mostly. Again, my opinion. This is my version. You don't have to accept it. Give you my opinion. It goes to the essence of what the Jewish marriage is. The Jewish marriage is as follows. A woman cannot have two husbands at the same time for a simple reason. Who is the father? It stands to reason that the Torah Kadosh wants that every person knows both of his parents. A man has two wives, so the child knows, this is my father, this is my mother. Reuven knew his father was Yaakov, his mother was Leah. Yosef knew his father was Yaakov, his mother was Rachel, and down the line. Okay, fine, terrific. A woman has two husbands at the same time. How do you know who the father is? Don't tell me DNA. Those who know about O.J. Simpson, I know that the DNA is not even accepted in U.S. courts. Of course they didn't have DNA in those days, and that law is not going to change right now. Mimela, Rabbo, say once that's true, the Torah had to define marriage as ki yikach ish isha. What does that mean? She enters into his home. He doesn't enter into her home, because if he entered into her home and had two wives, he'd be a schizo. You mean two homes at once? She, because she can't have two husbands, can be in one home at once at the home of her husband. That's why the man is active in the marriage, because he's taking her into his house. And that's why he's active in the divorce, by sending her to Shulchan Mibay. So literally, he sends her out of the house. That's why he can annul her vows. In Beis Isha Nadara, she entered into his house. That's why his customs are determinant, because she came into his house. The whole Sugim Psachim, right? Makom Shenagu, went from Makom to Makom. She went from her house to his, they could live on the same block, but once she enters his house by marrying him, so now she says she's in his Makom, she should follow his customs. That's why she's adulterous Chas V'Shalom, could be a doubtful paternity, at least in principle, and then it's an Easter of Lo Sinaf, Sarah Sadibris. Doesn't apply to a married man. By Torah law, he can take a second wife. So if he's doing something bad on the side, he's a terrible balavera. Not the same level, the children are kosher. This is my theory. Am I right? Am I wrong? I don't know. I'm giving you my explanation of all of these kinds of halachas. So, Rabbosai, so far there are really three categories of change. Difference between men and women. One is anatomy, we didn't discuss. Bris Mila, they're not trying to make Bris Mila women. It's crazy. And then Easter of shaving and with a razor. There are quite a few distinctions which are based on anatomy. And you know, there are other anatomy-related distinctions, like when the Shmartim they call Davara, which applies to men and not to women. I'm not sure about that as well. Anatomy, just anatomy. Then we had Rav Moshe's tshuva about mitzvahs and ascensions, mangrama and Torah, so she can raise her family. And then we have this idea of marriage. I'm explaining to you based on the fact that she's not doing it to his home. So that's why he can have two wives and she can have two husbands. All based on one unchanging fact. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in his infinite wisdom, decided that only one gender can bear children. That's it. All depend upon that. All the anatomy depends upon that. Those who studied high school biology. The distinction between Zman Grama and Torah depends upon that, as Rav Moshe wrote. And all the laws of marriage and divorce also depend upon that. There's only one thing. Everything goes back to that one thing. Women bear children, the men don't. Can't change that. If you have a tiny against the Kodesh Baruch Hu, why did he see fit that only women should bear children, why not men? Why not men? There's a kasha in the Kodesh Baruch Hu. That's not Kodesh Baruch Hu, which created the world. So now we come to the trickiest one, which we alluded to earlier discussing Avis. Number one, I want to be very clear. This is that article was very misleading. Do you mean to say that a woman lacks credibility? That was the implication. Can't make the kids emotional, she can't see things. What are you talking about? Eidechot Nemeh Bisturin is based upon V'safra Allah, on the credibility of a woman. All of the Taras of Mishpacha hangs on her credibility. Kashas hangs on her credibility. What are you talking about? It's only formal testimony in Bezdin, which is disqualified for the reason I gave you before. Let's give other examples. Melech below Malka. The Rambam. The Rambam writes famously, not only can she not be a queen, who is the monarch, but any Sarara, any position of authority, she's disqualified from. That's the Rambam. Why? Women don't count for a minion. You know that. So some of these partnership minyanim, they say, oh, all right, we'll fix your wagons. You can't start down, you have 10 men and 10 women. That's absurdity. You're trying to change halacha. That's what Moshe would call that kvira. Here's a little bit, what might be called, but here I'll concede it could be viewed as a negative legal consequence. I haven't conceded anything she said until now. But I will concede this point. As you know, Pesukim Mefarosh in Sefer Bamidbar, men inherit their parents and women don't. But no slacha was the exception, there were no brothers. To be a brother, they wouldn't have asked Chazal for Rashi Nizal Chumash. Why? It's true, by Rabbanu and Matakein, that they're entitled to a particular portion of the estate until they marry, and that pays for their weddings. Why don't they inherit equally? Again, I'm giving my shot. You can feel free to reject it. Since we said before, Rav Moshe has an expression that taking care of children is the most important work for Hashem and for Torah. And children are raised at home, by definition. So a mother is encouraged by the halacha to concentrate her time and effort at home. I told you before, there's no psak halacha. There's no psak, she's not allowed to work outside the house. But the Torah encourages her to be at home to take care of her husband and of her children. And therefore, it seems to me that many of the Torah's laws are geared to this kind of an ideal situation. I'd like to give a modern analogy. Can I give one a modern from the opposite side? There are different governments that do different things to try to engineer the population. I read about it recently. It's unbelievable what's going on in China. In China, one child. That's it, one child. There's a tremendous tumult now in China because there are more boys than girls by a staggering sum. Could they abort the girl? Whatever they do, I'm not going through the details right now. And it's going to be unrest. There's going to be millions of Chinese males who are not going to get married. That's, you're talking about social engineering. That's going to come home to roost. It's scary. Now, I don't think it's a crime in China to have more than one child, but there's severe economic disincentives. In Eretz Yisrael, by contrast, it was true, I don't know if it's true anymore, but certainly was true for many, many years. Every Jewish woman that has a baby, the government came with a check to the hospital. Here's a check. Thank you. We're in a demographic life and death battle. Is there a chiyuv by Israeli law you must have children? The penalty of a criminal not to have children? Believe them. Governments have engineering. They try to push people in certain directions, incentives and disincentives. I'll give you an example. So the Torah as well gives a monetary incentive for a woman to marry and to bear and raise children. What's the incentive? Very simple. The men inherit property. If a woman doesn't marry, what's going to happen to her? She's going to be in bad shape. It's an incentive for a woman to marry. Rabosai, can I give a modern corollary? Why is it that there are singles communities today among the Orthodox Jews which never existed in the old years? Never. Like I'm old enough to remember. There was no such thing as a singles community. You got married when you were young. You were always here and there, people didn't get married. They were absorbed in the regular community. They lived in Kew Garden Hills where I grew up, I lived, and before I lived in Brooklyn. There was no place where hundreds and thousands of frum singles gathered. Can you explain to me why? What changed in the last 50 years? What changed?
Financial independence.
Exactly. Women's financial independence. Is that good for the Jews or bad for the Jews? The fact that so many women are single and therefore the counterpart men are single. I think it's bad for the Jews. So while this lady is writing about the negative legal consequences, she should think again. From the Torah's perspective, and I'm going to tell you something which my Rebbe taught us, that Kimea Shamayim Ala Oretz, the loneliness of a woman is horrific, even more than the loneliness of a man, which is also terrible. If we had to take a choice, I'll give you, what do you think about this choice? We'll take a choice of life in the 1950s when I was growing up, where, yes, it was Father Knows Best, that was the name of the TV show we used to watch. And I grew up in a house in the late 50s in Queens where there were family values, and every family had a father and a mother and a couple of kids, and the mothers all stayed home, no one really went to work. That's one choice. 1950s, okay? Fast forward 50 years. Now what do you have? Oh, women are careers and this and that and the other thing, but there's so many unmarrieds. So many unmarrieds. Take a look from Shemayim. Look down. You know, from a high point. So where are we better off? What's the chatzin? What's the other? The glass ceiling has been broken. But the result, that's what I think, unless you have a different shot, the result of the financial independence is there are thousands of single women, and by definition, single men. That's what it takes. There's no incentive. Why should I get married? I'm going to fast track them. A doctor, lawyer, fill in the blank. When they didn't have that, it was an incentive to get married precisely because, again, I spoke about this just this past Sunday, that even though in laws of Yerusha, all goes to the sons, I advocate giving the money to all your children equally, literally equally. Because otherwise there's going to be fights. Why are there fights? Because there are different expectations today. But that's a reality. I'm not here to ignore reality. I'm just measuring reality. Perhaps things would have been better had the old reality still been so. The women had a greater incentive to marry because they were financially dependent and they wouldn't get major sums after the parents would pass away. So the road to financial security was getting married.
Are they happier?
Excuse me?
Who was happier?
Who was happier?
Yeah, no.
It depends. I'll answer you. The women who are married today are probably happier. But all those who are left out in the cold are unhappier, even though they'd be making big sums. At the end of the day, the successful professional who's not married is not happy. I'm telling you from direct experience. Not happy. Their mother was happy, who'd never made a dime, was taken care of by her husband, and then raised a family in the streets of Queens without having to step foot in the West Side. Yes?
Well, what are the responses to that from, like, some more to, like, the left in terms of women's issues? They say that, like, why are you blaming only women? Like, the men also are to focus on money, and you know, they're also not paying as family.
Men are at least as equally to blame. I'm discussing the system. You want to know why? I'm saying you might. You don't have to accept what I'm saying. I'm giving time of the crow and saying that I'm giving reasons. By having the men inherit exclusively, it's a greater incentive for a woman to get married. Take that away, and these days it is taken away, they were still getting married. Add financial dependence, so then, unfortunately, and I don't want to say this too loud, add the permissiveness which exists in the world today, that in order to have physical gratification, you don't have to be married, and that's what I don't want to talk about, but it's a reality if anyone knows anything that's going on in the world. So then, I don't need a man to be married to be with him. I don't need a man to be married to support. So, unfortunately, that's what's going on in large swaths of society, even if they are nominally Orthodox. Rahman al-Islam. It can't be blind what's going on in the world. I consider myself a realist. Remember, the husbands are going to take care of their wives, take care of their children, because they're going to be able to go to work. That was a model which existed in the ideal Torah world. For the same reason, women were exempted from public and communal activity. They shouldn't be required, but no prohibited, to leave their homes to the public arena. Yes, the Rambam says once a month. Okay, that's the Rambam's time. But the Gadol, we Penima was also considered to be an ideal place for women. Why don't women count for a minyan? The answer is obvious. Minyan is the ultimate of a public event. 10 people make a quorum. That's exactly why a woman is exempted and disqualified from the monarchy, and according to the Rambam, all positions of authority. But they are by definition public. So, I have to summarize what I said until now. There's one fundamental distinction between men and women. Women can have children, bear children, and men can't. This relates to, this is I think you can fit anything in these four categories. One, the anatomy, the mismila with the nida, obviously went to appropriation. Two, zman grama tamator, Rav Moshe, which we read the Shema word for word. Three, marriage and divorce law, which I explained to you, since paternity is unknown if she has more than one husband, that leads to the ki kachish, when she comes to his house, and she takes her his customs, and he can be married for the nindorim, and there's an adultery on one side and on the other side. And four, and finally, the most delicate, the private role. But it also goes back to the same thing. We're encouraging women to get married and have children and take care of the children. We're encouraging it. And for this reason, all these distinctions of Eidos and monarchy and minion, these things are coming, inheritance, all relates to that. Yes, though.
So what is everything like a kollel lifestyle or like the man?
I'm not into that. A man's supposed to work and support his wife. If he goes to kollel for a year after he's married, That's okay. But long term, he's required to support his wife. That's what this article pointed out. The kollel lifestyle encourages the women to go on a different track. I'm not encouraging that. I encourage the women to be blessed with Hashem, the children will be blessed, not everyone is blessed. Take care of the children, husband's got to work. Can I forbid kollel? No. Short term, people go to medical school, they also go short term until they're worse than kollel. They have big debts from the tuition. But they understand it's leading to something. So guys in the kollel will lead to a position. Okay, so that's many doctors are until they get paid, it takes 10 years until they're this training. But in principle, the man has to work to support them. It's an exuba. I know Efla right away. I know Efla means I'm going to work. I'm going to work. So now I'm about to say my last point. I only have a few minutes to go. And we're not going to let the field to finish, and you'll print that out for me and those other things that you had on the. I'll do the end of next week. I'll respond. After saying all this, perhaps the Torah is discriminating against women. Not just discriminating between men and women. Maybe discriminating against women. So Rav Moshe already said the fact that there are less mitzvahs, not discrimination. Torah just gave her a kula, as he called it. Nor should she be able to take care of her husband and the children. What about other distinctions? So, I would like to suggest, if you give me I really can't finish this. But let me just talk about one thing. Shalom Asani Isha. It's one of the sorest points. If you know that you filed the blog sphere a few years ago, people wrote really horrific things about it. One rabbi wrote, it's called A Jew to Shalom Asani Isha. Forget about it. I can't do this anymore. And people came down and said, he changed it. Took it offline. I have a copy in my house. Took it offline. It's a more mild version, but it's the same thing. We have a tradition, Shalom Asani Isha. Is it an embarrassment somehow? Is it an embarrassment? Someone demeans women? Chas v'shalom. Chalila v'chalila v'chalila. We're not demeaning anybody. The Tosefta. Tosefta. What's going on here? Is this alphabetical order? What can I find? Brachos. Libra me? Oh, sounds like Damn near subversion.
It's a guy from.
I know. That's it.
That's a big comic book.
See if you can find it.
BTS guy.
Is it here? Oh! Shalosh Brachos Chayvan Adar Baruch B'Chayom. Shalosh Ani Goy, Bur, Isha. Goy, he gives a reason. Isha, he gives you the reason to Farish. She'ein Anashim Chayamas Ben Mitzvahs. People make a book out of crazy reasons. It's Mefarish. It says it in the original source. It's like the article in the newspaper. They make up a reason, then they come down to straw man, and it's explicit. Oh, so what's your law, Sani Isha? I'll give you my pshat. My pshat, my original pshat, you don't have to accept it. Excuse me. Shalom Sani Isha means fewer mitzvahs. So what is Shalsani Kirtzono? That's what I meant. It's like some kind of a negative. No. The woman says to the husband, just, I mean, imagine this, he gets up in a big loud voice, Shalom Asani Isha. She says to him, Shalsani Kitsono. What kind of response is that? You can't have children, my dear husband. That's why you have all these extra mitzvahs. Shalsani Kitsono, HaKadosh Baruch Hu made me, and I'm the only one who can bear children, and I have the skills to raise children, and the ability to raise children better than you. Ha! So there. You can have your tefillin, take your tzitzis, take your sukkah, take your lulav, take your shofar, and give me the ability to raise children and to bear children to raise them. That's my pshat. People may not like it. Not that I haven't seen it printed anywhere else. But that's my pshat. It's zek and neg and zek. He's saying I have more mitzvahs than you, and she's thinking, you know why I have more mitzvahs than me? Because you can't have kids, and I can. Shosani kitzono. My anatomy is different than yours. Now, just to end with this. Rabosai, there's your question. In today's corporate world, there are different titles people have. Some are called chairman of the board, president, CEO, CFO, COO, Allah Amin Azach. Who's on top?
CEO.
Who's it? CEO? Sometimes.
Shareholders.
Share. Who's really it? Who's the top man in the company? How do you know? There must be people in the corporate world. How do you know who's the top person in the company? How do you know? They're just names, you know? President. It could be meaningless. How do you know? You know how you know? Simple. Who gets paid the most? The Tasha Dushan. Tachlis, they say. Who gets paid the most? That's the top one. Who gets paid more, women or men? We'll talk about the glass ceiling. I'm a feminist in this respect. In one respect, I'm a feminist. They deserve equal pay for equal work. I believe in it. Look at the Gemara, says over here. Look at the Gemara. Mefurash Gemara, I didn't make it up. Gedola haftocha sheftichu HaKadosh Baruch Hu lenashim yosim eno anashim. It's not fair. Women are being paid more than men. It's mamash not fair. So we should come and complain. The men's groups to complain? What do we complain? We should complain. Says the next Gemara, Noshim b'may zachyam. How about women's? It's obviously payment in Olam Haba, which is a real payment. Bakri b'nai lebe knishta. Uvasnuyi gavrami b'erabonim. But not from the guy that's b'erabonim. They take care of their sons and their husbands. Today they're called enablers. It's like a dirty word. Enablers. That's the Rakh Azachim. What about Shabbos and Kashrus and Taras and Mishpacha? Why are they picking only this? We have two tremendous Kashrus. Can I give you an answer? Kushya Achaz Mitaretz with Bechavot. I will end with this. What do you mean? Noshim and Bai Zachim. That's me, Bai Zachim. They answered that Kasha. Why are they getting more? Why are women getting more than men? It's not fair. The answer is as follows. If you look at the Marasha and Brochus of Zion, he explains that everyone has to get a reward commensurate for their good deeds. Where is that reward? Some in this world, and some in the next world. So many people, times the tzaddik will get punished in this world to get more reward in the next world. And a Rasha gets some reward in this world, etc. Has to all even out, Rabosa. Who gets more so-called reward in this world? The answer is men. They get paid higher salaries, even after the egalitarian push. They get more covet. They have a more public role. We're called covet hamadume, or the loser recover. That's the truth. They get more. That's not fair. Look what they're doing to women. They're out there basically. Whoever makes medrash, she gives a shrai, above her abaye, and he gives a shear. And the woman is waiting home from the come home at night, and she's taking the kids to school. This boy is saying, "Come, tell me, come." She's less out there, less glory, if you will. To make up for it, she gets more reward in the next world. These two conscious answer each other. It's all after, you know why? Because their schus is a queer benaya and not the gavrayim. Being less covet, if you will, in this world, they deserve more schar and equity, even in that. All that's ever subshat this gemara. But also, I didn't quite finish what I wanted to say. My time is already a little bit over time. Right? We are obligated to Zman Groma. We have other obligations to take care of now. Next week we'll cover what I wanted to say, finish it, and try to respond to those tshuvas that I'll get from Dov. I wish a good Shabbos to one and all.